The title of my sermonette is, It's About Time. Time is money. Time is precious. Time is fleeting. Time is flying. As time goes by, we can experience prime time, quality time, real time, double time, hard times, and no time. As in, no time like the present. And though we may live in the present, we can be ahead of our time, or we can be behind the times. From time to time, we're pressed for time, out of time, do not have time, fighting against time, or have no time to lose. Or it could be just the opposite. We have time to burn, spare time, biding our time, have time on our hands, time to kill, passing the time of day, or just plain wasting time. Whether it's the best of times or the worst of times, whether you're having the time of your life or having a hard time, in Ecclesiastes we find that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. That's Ecclesiastes 3. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, we see that as a Christian in this day and age, the time is right to use your time wisely. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. In verse 15 it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." What exactly does this mean, to redeem the time? Because we know as humans that once time passes us by, that is it, that we can't get it back. Figuratively, redeeming the time means to rescue it from loss. It's to recover our wasteful time. It's to improve its use, in other words. And that is, whenever we try to redeem the time, we want to then use it for more important purposes. Because of the day and age that we're living in, brethren, we're bombarded by numerous temptations that can lead us away from the proper use of time. So we are to then redeem the time. We are to buy it back or to buy it up from misuse. For example, the Sabbath day. How is our time being used today? Isaiah 58, verse 13 shows us a proper use of the time that we are supposed to have on the Sabbath. In Isaiah 58, in verse 13, we read, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words." So if we are using the Sabbath for our own pleasures, then this would be a good use of trying to redeem time. If we redeem the time on the Sabbath, then we take back the uses of doing our own things on the Sabbath and then use those to honor God, to worship God. And I think we know, which ones are which, but we just need to be even more careful about how we do use our time on the Sabbath. But it's not just a Sabbath. This is every day of the week that we need to be asking ourselves the question, is this or is there a better use of my time? Or am I getting caught up in the cares of this world? And again, that's the innumerable cares of this world. And there's absolutely way too many to mention today and to go through. So once we have redeemed the time, and again, we are to redeem that time, what are we to be doing with that time? God gives us some big picture ideas. He gives us a broad framework within which we can operate. For instance, he tells us to, in Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, this is one of the things that we're supposed to be doing with this time that we're redeeming. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So again, we are supposed to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. If we are doing things that perhaps we shouldn't be doing, or things that perhaps our time is not as well spent doing, and we redeem that time, one of the ways that we can do it, or use it, is to abound in the work of the Lord. 1 Peter 4:7 is another way. 1 Peter 4:7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And I might add that we can also obviously fill it with Bible study, with meditation, with fasting, the other three of the big four. Again, if you notice, it says the end of all things is at hand. Again, it should be a motivating factor as well whenever we think about these things and we think about what we should be doing with our time that we're redeeming. Also, if you could turn to Romans 13, we'll read verses 10 through 14. And it gives us a little more insight into what else we can be doing during the week and what we could and should change. Romans 13, verses 10 through 14. It said, love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in the revelry and drunkenness, not in the lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for flesh to fulfill its lust. Again, when we're talking about abounding in the works, we're to cast off the other works, the works of darkness. We're supposed to walk properly and follow the way of Jesus Christ. We are to be redeeming the time by using it, by using every opportunity that we have to do good. What else is there, brethren, that we can be doing? I leave those answers for you to come up with. Each and every one of us have our own personal answers, individual answers to that question. But when we figure out what the answer is to the question, we do need to go after it with a gusto. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, we see that we're supposed to make the most of our time. Ecclesiastes 9:10, again, is a familiar scripture, but it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So we are to take this time that we've redeemed, we're to use it properly, and we're supposed to now go after it wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. In Colossians 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So what we do to the Lord, we do heartily. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, it adds to these sentiments that we're expressing here, the ones that we expressed before in Scripture, such as, now it's high time to awake out of the sleep. The end of all things is at hand. In 1 Corinthians 7:29, it says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. The time is short. How often do we hear that? Our time upon the earth, again, as a human, is relatively short. Our life is described in Job and Psalms as that but of a few days. It's like a flower that fades away. It's like a shadow that does not continue. At its best state, it's a vapor. Man's days are like grass, and then it's gone. That's the way Job and Psalms talk about the life of a man. That is our life, relatively short, and we need to be making the most of the life that we do have. Not only is our life short, but we find in Romans 9:28 that the work that we're to be abounding in, the same work, will not go on for as long as we think. In Romans 9 and verse 28, it says, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth." So we don't have time, and there's not going to be a lot of time to do the work. So do you see where we're heading, where we're leading? Also, in Revelation 12:12, Satan knows this is the case. He knows that his time is limited. In Revelation 12:12, it says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time." So we don't have a lot of time. The work's not going to last for real long, and Satan's going to be doing everything possible to make sure that in these times that he can disturb and to uproot and to do everything possible to get us off the track. Also in Revelation, we find a phrase that kind of acts like bookends to the message that's contained therein. The phrase is, "things which must shortly come to pass." Things which must shortly come to pass. Revelation 1:1, and again, we won't turn there, in Revelation 22:6, again, at the very first verse of Revelation says this, "these things which must shortly take place." Revelation 22:6, the last chapter, says the exact same thing. So it's talking about everything inside Revelation 20, inside of Revelation, period. These things are going to shortly come to pass. And again, we know what's going to happen in the pages in between. And it's not a pretty picture. So, brethren, do we believe the things that we've read today? If we do, we will act on the things that we've heard. And we will be motivated to move on the things that we've heard, because the time that we do have is short. As time marches on, time is running out. There is so little time, and yet so much to do. Now is the time to make up for lost time. We need to redeem the time all the time. We are in a race against time, and time waits for no man. The time for action is now.